So we're really pleased to be joined by Wendy Peake now. Now, the team that I was filming with for Panorama had the pleasure of interviewing Wendy as part of the programme back in June. And Wendy has ocular melanoma, and she was actually at a point where her clinical trial had been cancelled due to COVID. She then went on to Five Live after the Panorama programme, fundraised the money, got the treatment, and is speaking to us today. Wendy, welcome.
Hello, thank you for inviting me.
So the most important question is, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well, thank you. I've had two rounds of chemotherapy now, one in July and one in October, and I'm about to have my third one. And the lesions, tumours have significantly shrunk. And so I'm in a very different place to where I was on the Panorama programme back in June, July, which is really reassuring. Yeah, it's been a long, hard journey, but it has got a positive outcome.
That's well, I can amazing. Recall hearing you like the day after the pan. It was a day or two after Panorama, wasn't it? You went on Five Live Drive, and I used to work on the Drive programme, so I know all the guys at Five Live, Anna and Tony, and all the team there, and you know they got you on, and you can tell. You can tell when you're listening to something on the radio, you can tell when it's really got the presenters. Yeah, you could just tell your story. Yeah. And at the time, you know, it was a really difficult situation for you, wasn't it? You know, Deb mentioned that the trial had stopped. But just take us back to then and kind of, you know, how kind of tough was that situation at the time?
Well, it was absolutely horrific, really, because I'd been in to have the first part of the treatment on the 13th of March. It was, I remember it well, it was Friday the 13th. And that's where they isolate all the outlying vessels from the liver ready for the chemo, because this is it's quite an innovative treatment where they isolate the liver and put the chemo just through the liver so it doesn't go anywhere else in the body. So in terms of its effect on the body, the rest of the body, obviously there are minimal side effects, so it's a win-win all round, really. But in order to do that, they isolate any little outlying vessels that aren't needed. So I'd had that on the 13th of March, and I was due to go in on the 27th of March for the first round of chemo. And on the 23rd of March, an admin person just phoned me and said, the routine heart scan, which you're due to have on Thursday the 26th when you're admitted, has been cancelled. And I said, it can't be. I just went into shock. I said, I'm on the Delcath trial. I'm having treatment on the Friday. It can't be. So she said, yes, or everything's been cancelled. Don't come into the hospital. So I said, are you sure? Just check. Nobody's informed me. Nobody's told me. And I genuinely thought she'd got it wrong. And then I made several phone calls myself, just full of anxiety. I mean, I can't even remember. I was just going through the motions of it. And then I was told it's been pulled. It's, the trial's not going ahead. It's dead in the water here and all over Europe. And that's it. And we were just left absolutely devastated. I knew it was my only hope, because when I was diagnosed with ocular melanoma in 2017, and obviously I had my eye removed in the February, I was told then it would have a 40% chance of going to my liver. And if it did, within 2 to 5 years of diagnosis, and if it did, that was the end of the road. So in November 19, I thought that was the end of the road. And then in the January, February, they told me of this amazing trial and that I was a good candidate for it. And then just to have it stopped. So, and my two daughters were in the room at the time, and my husband, and I had the phone on speakerphone, and I had to leave, had to get off the phone, because my oldest daughter, the wail was just... Yeah, I mean, I feel up now thinking about it. It was, you know, it was like animalistic. It was just dreadful. And so I got off the phone to comfort her, and we were just shocked. And that's when we got ourselves together within hours and started writing begging letters to Matt Hancock and to our MP. And we did our best to try and get the trial reinstated.
You mentioned your daughters there, Wendy, and it was your daughters really that, you know, they went to town, didn't they? They really got down to fundraising.
Yeah, they really rose to the challenge, because we were met with this potentially £240,000, six rounds of chemo at £40,000. And we were just, the oncologist from the original hospital phoned and said in the June, I might, you can have this privately, Wendy, and even if you can just afford one round of treatment, it's better than nothing. Do you want me to start the motions and start contacting Southampton? And I just said yes without even thinking about it, put the phone down and thought, what are we going to do? And that's when I actually started Googling what when the NHS has cancelled cancer treatment, and I got onto Novum Law, who have been, Mary Smith from Novum Law has been so instrumental in supporting us through this. And then my daughter said, we haven't really got time to go through, you know, through the law or through courts or whatever, let's do GoFundMe. And they just did it and went with it, and we've just hit 150,000 now. Wow. And so it is amazing. They've made resin jewellery, they've just made 7,000, and they only started it in August. So, you know, we have come a long way, and it's brought us all together. It's been hard. It's not like you sit here letting the money come in and it's easy. There's a lot of effort that goes into it, and it's an emotional roller coaster. But listeners on Five Live and Panorama, I mean, after the Panorama programme, the funding that came in was unbelievable. We just cried. I mean, we cried for days every time the fives came in. You know, any amount of money came in, it was phenomenal, really. And the messages of support, we took a lot of strength from those messages. And at first we were very much alone, and we looked at lots of options: remortgaging the house, release, you know, like release equity, going into pensions, modest savings. We looked at everything, but to actually raise that amount of money would require something radical. And I know from obviously having my eye removed in 2017 that the challenges that cancer patients face going through a diagnosis and then treatment, home is the only safe, secure place where you want to be. I mean, I can remember, obviously, I went down to monocular vision and just not wanting to leave the house, or if I did, I couldn't wait to get back because it felt so safe. And to think that we'd have to sell the house and move and go through treatment, it just became too much. It was just overwhelming. So my husband was very reluctant about the GoFundMe because we'd been very private about the liver diagnosis, simply because all our friends and family had had the trauma of the eye situation, which was traumatic just simply because it was so visual as well. And I couldn't hide that. And so everybody knew about that. So we thought, we didn't know what was happening with the liver, so we just kept it quiet. And then to go from that to the whole world knowing on a GoFundMe page we thought it would be really hard and really difficult, but actually it was quite liberating for everybody out there to know what was happening and what had happened to us, and to get all that support from people. It was amazing. Yeah.
What an incredible reaction from people, though. And like you said, I remember when I was raising money for Macmillan after Rachel died, and I can remember getting a couple of donations that were £2 or £3.
Yes.
And in a way, you know, the fivers or whatever mean the world, don't they? Those are the people that, you know, probably don't have an awful lot, but they're so touched by the story and they want to do whatever they possibly can to help. And I can remember thinking that was just the most, you know, just the most amazing thing, that you get people digging into their piggy banks and giving you, you know, whatever they can afford. That must feel incredible.
Yeah, and making the effort to actually go onto the GoFundMe and navigate their way through it and find a way. And initially we started off, and obviously the funds came in tremendously after Panorama and the Five Live programme. The GoFundMe page kept freezing because the donations came in so fast, and it was just incredible. Obviously, it was something we'd never, ever experienced before. And we all took a lot of strength from that. And then when it's quietened down a little bit, we decided to go door to door. And we have my husband printed leaflets out with the GoFundMe page. And we thought we'd tackle one of them, quite an exclusive road in Cheshire, thinking, you know, that we'd get some good donations, that somebody would listen to our plight. And so my daughter and I went in the car, and we've both felt nervous about it because they're quite imposing houses with gates and things. But we thought, no, we can do this. And we were determined, and we both got out, and I said, you do that side, I'll do this side, or we'll be here all day. Because it was like, you know, because the houses are so big, there's such a distance between them. Anyway, I started one side and she started the other. Most of them had electric gates, so we just put them into the letterboxes by the gates, which most of them had video cameras anyway next to them. So I felt a bit intimidated. But I got to one which didn't have any electric gates and I went up to it and put the leaflet through the door and came down. And all the while I was thinking to myself, gosh, I feel uncomfortable about doing this, but it seemed right and it was positive, and Bella got some strength from it as well. And I thought, no, this is the right thing to do, but I still felt uncomfortable. And as I got to the bottom of the drive, the owner of the house was walking along the drive with a dog on the pavement and immediately said, what are you doing there? Why have you been up my drive? What have you put in my, you know, what are you doing? So I just said, I've just put a leaflet through your door. And she said, yes, but what leaflet? What's the leaflet about? What is it? And she was very aggressive. So I just thought it was the most bizarre reaction ever, given that I was a, you know, 58-year-old woman, just looked normal, I think. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, actually, if I have to explain to you, I'll probably cry. And the dog was yapping at me and everything. And I just explained that I'd had cancer treatment and it had been cancelled because of COVID-19. And that we couldn't afford to go privately. And so we were trying to raise funds, and she kind of swept the dog up, turned round and said, I'll read it later, and walked off. And I just burst into tears. And with that, my daughter, who was on the other side of the road, looked back, saw me, came over and said, what on earth's the matter? And I said, recounted what had happened. And she said, right, let's just go home now, Mum. And I said, absolutely not. We said we'd do this road and we'll do it. So we did it, but I never went back again. I never did the leafleting again. My husband did and she did, but I didn't. And we never went to the posh roads again. We just took the ordinary roads. I think we've decided that just ordinary people in ordinary houses seem to be way more generous. Yeah, it's been a huge... Obviously, we've had lots of layers to all of this, and obviously there's been lots of highs and lots of lows, but I think on balance definitely the highs have at last outweighed the lows, which is positive.
Wendy, it's so positive. I appreciate, you know, and we've spoken loads, and for me your story was, well, the reason that we did things like Panorama, because actually it was to highlight exactly the impact that COVID was having on people like yourself. And I know we can probably talk for hours about how unfair the situation is, but the positive, which is what today's podcast is about, is that you are now looking forward to another Christmas with your family.
Yes.
How does that make you feel?
Absolutely. I mean, it's just brilliant. I mean, it's just, yeah. And that we've got treatment and that there is a future is well, what more could we ask for, given the circumstances in March? It's just completely turned around.
Wendy, we wish you all the luck. And I think for us, especially being a Five Live podcast as well, and being involved with the Panorama, I think your story feels incredibly special to us. But thank you for sharing your story. Wish you all kind of the best wishes for the new year and for many more Christmases to come. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much,
Wendy.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me on, and thank you to all the listeners for helping us. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, well done.
Thanks,
listeners.
Love.
Well, that was amazing, wasn't it? I
love that.
I think that was just incredible. And